Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, when you know something the devil has stolen, that's when you have to use your authority and to command in known language. Don't pray in unknown tongues. When you know the devil has stolen something, command him. Now, when do you pray in known language? For example, if somebody is sick, you go for surgery, you pray with known language first. Amen? You go for surgery, you take medication, you always pray, prayer of faith in known language first. Amen? You ask God for wisdom, be given to the doctors and nurses. Angels go, command them to go and assist them and command the devil to stop operating, maneuvering against that operation. There are things that you must pray in English. Then go and pray in unknown tongues. Amen. Especially if you know you have knowledge what you need, then you pray with understanding. Then you must follow by praying in unknown tongues. Especially something that is stolen. Sometimes the Lord's blessing can be stolen. Not referring to you. Somebody called me last night from China. So when you know the devil has stolen something, don't just pray in unknown tongues. You have to take authority, command the devil, return it. And sometimes before God's blessing, you have to watch. Don't let the devil steal it. You have to use authority, command the devil. That's where watch and pray comes in. Now, before the devil steals it, you have to watch and pray in unknown tongues because you don't know what's happening. But once it's stolen, you have to use authority. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. Let's read this scripture for pray over the tithes. Leviticus 27, verse 30 to 32. 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruits from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It belongs to God. Amen. And must be set apart for Him as holy. It belongs to God, so it is holy. Thank you, Jesus. So verse 31, if you want to buy back the Lord's 10th of the grain or the fruit, you must pay its value plus 20%. You know, those days they tie the fruits and their produce. Verse 32, count off every 10th animal from your herds and flocks and set them apart for the Lord as holy, belongs to God. So tithes belong to God. So this passage from Leviticus reminds us of God's foundational claim over our resources. God's claim. The practice of tithing, setting aside 1/10 of our increase, is a tangible act of remembrance. The word zakah means to remember that all we have comes from Him, belongs to Him, is an act of worship and trust, acknowledging His sovereignty and provision in our lives. Old Testament tithing involves multiple overlapping systems designed to support religious institutions. That's why it belongs to God. It supports their institution and cares for the vulnerable population. Religious institutions, including the priests and the high priest. So the foundational principle held that a 10 portion of agricultural produce and livestock belongs to God, a sacred obligation rather than an optional giving. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for health and healing. Thank you for prospering us as our soul prospers. Thank you, Father. We acknowledge that the tithe belongs to you to support your institution, provide for the needs of your people. We thank you, Father, for the offerings that we bring, the seeds that we sow, and it shall be multiplied back to us in Jesus' precious holy name. Everyone say, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Remembering God when circumstances speak louder. Circumstances can be anything. Amen. A study in spiritual memory, faithful testimony, and the ancient Hebrew word, Hebrew art of zakah, actively holding on to what God has already done. Remember, what God has already done. Amen. If you don't know what God has already done, that's where the problem is. If you don't remember what God has done for your life, that's where the problem is. The battle of the mind. One of the greatest battles every believer face is not always the conflict of raging, what's raging outside us, what's around us. Often, the most significant battle is the one taking place within your soul, that's your mind. It is the battle of the memory of the mind. Praise God, if you're wrongly taught, that's where the problem is. If you're holding on to all the wrong teaching, that's where the problem is. How do you know you're holding on to the wrong and thinking the wrong? Your confession. What you say. So the enemy of our souls understands a critical spiritual principle. Enemy of your soul, that's the devil. If he cannot change what God has already done, he will try to make us forget what God has done. You forget. I just told somebody the other night. I said, a couple of years ago, I lay hands on you, the shaft of light came down on you. I didn't see it. You were the one who told me. Actually, you were the one who told me. That's how I knew. And I had a similar experience when I went to the year Brother Hagin died, 2003. The Lord said, you better go to camp meeting, because I missed the Winter Bible Seminar in February because I was upset over something, so I didn't want to go. So he told me, you better get out there. That may not be the tone of his voice, but he was serious. And once I hear from God, I went. I went on Thursday night, the shaft of light came down on heaven on me. And I thought, oh, every night is the same. But on Friday night, oh, felt different. No, you don't sense that presence the same as Thursday night. The shaft of light came down on me in that camp meeting, July, third week of July, 2003, September he died. If I didn't go, I would have missed it, right or not? So it's very important you obey God. Amen. So 2003, September he died, I went back for his funeral. I went alone. I just booked a flight, just went for attended his funeral. And I'm the only one who went from here, Singapore. Praise God. 2003. And let me tell you something. 2003, February, I missed it big time. That year, the Winter Bible Seminar, the anointing was so strong. He said, you know, the last time he had it so strong was 40 years before. That was 1963. 2003, he said 40 years ago, it was that strong. And he spoke prophetically, and I still have the transcript. And 1963, he prophesied. And then he said, 1966, you're going to be heaven on earth. That's where the charismatic move started in 66. 2003, same thing he said. He said, 2006, it's going to be heaven and earth and judgment, right? Now, God doesn't judge to destroy. He just lifts his hand, his grace. 2003, he said, 2006 will be heaven on earth. Now, Joseph Prince book and message impacted, begin to impact, it impact US and impact the world, right? But there was judgment. I won't go into that. And I drew the graph, 2006, I drew the graph for the student, say, watch 2026, 20 years. And there's a lot of judgment in America. When God judged, he didn't judge to destroy. He lifted his hands, you know. When he lifts his hand, you guess what? The devil just hit him. So 2026, and now you watch 2026, the world is in such a mess. So the battle of the memories, one of the greatest, like I said, is a battle of mind. The enemy of our souls understand the critical spiritual principle. If we cannot change what God has already done, he'll try to make us forget what God has done. A believer who actively remembers God's faithfulness becomes incredibly difficult to intimidate. But a believer who forgets God's track record becomes vulnerable to fear, doubt, and despair. So, the enemy of our soul. So, why Scripture commands us to remember in the heat of the moment, the now feels more, much more real than the then, the past. That's human nature, human psychology. What you're confronted with right now always looks bigger, sounds louder than what God has done for you in the past, not what you did. That's why when we go through, face difficult time, we worship Him. When we worship Him, we magnify Him. Whatever is confronting us becomes smaller. If you put your eyes on what is confronting you right now, it will be so big, so loud, you will overwhelm you. It overwhelms you, then you break. You break mentally, you break physically, and that's it. So God doesn't repeat this command because we have poor memory. He repeats it because human beings are prone to losing perspective when they enter difficult seasons. I'll remind you, some people don't acknowledge what God has done for you. Oh, maybe, Habakkuk 3 verse 2, I've heard all about you, Lord. I'm filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of deep need, he remembered his work. And this is the prophet Habakkuk speaking. Help us, I remember, in my deepest need now, help us again, as you did in years gone by. You don't want to talk about your testimony? You want to hide your testimony? You pay your price next time. In your anger, remember. The word remember is not just recollect what happened. It's more profound than just simply remember. Remember your mercy as if God forgets. He said, Lord, remember your mercy. As if God forgets. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, son. I forgot. No. Amen. Now, that's where in the camp I talk about the case law where it comes in. So Habakkuk didn't deny the crisis. He doesn't pretend the circumstances are comfortable. Instead, he anchors his prayer in the memory of what God has already done and ask him to do it again. He didn't beg God. This is a posture of faith rooted in remembered faithfulness of God. This is the faith, word of faith message. This is a word of faith revival that brings us into a different posture of faith compared to those traditional church, always begging God to do something as if God won't do it. The crisis of spiritual forgetfulness. We live in an era characterized by information overload. Every day we are bombarded by breaking news. Sometimes people very fast, they forget what we have done for them. Yeah, I didn't say it. At least two of my board members say the same thing. Every day we are bombarded by breaking news. Financial pressures, health concerns, personal struggles, and global uncertainties. The volume problem is this. The sheer weight of present moment can become so loud that it silences the voice of your personal history, what God has done for you, where you came from, how God turned the company around, how God turned your life around. You forgot. That's why history is very important. Politicians study history. LKY study history. Generals study histories. That's why China spend millions of, I don't know whether billions, to record history. They're doing it now, considering their ancient histories. Spiritual forgetfulness defined a condition where we remember our problems more clearly than God's promises. Recalling pain and disappointment in vivid detail while struggling to recall the moments God carry us through or carry you through. Now, consider the rearview mirror. The design of a car has a large, expensive windshield in front, the driver, and a relatively small rearview mirror at the side and on top there. The reason is simple. The driver must move forward. The future is bigger than the past, and our primary focus should be on where we are going. However, the rearview mirror is still absolutely necessary. A wise driver occasionally glances behind to understand the context of the journey. Sometimes you look at the side mirror, look at the rear mirror just above the windshield there. Both look at the rear, but two give you two different perspectives, but it's still about the rear. You look at the side, you look at the rearview mirror just above you before you look in front of you. And it's important. And there are blind sides where the camera comes in nowadays. However, the rearview mirror is still absolutely necessary. A driver who never looks back may not see danger approaching or understand the terrain already conquered. Amen. So God does not call us to live in the past, but He commands us to remember the past because His past faithfulness is the evidence and the confidence for our future. Israel's pattern of forgetfulness. Now, when we study the journey of Israelites, we discover a recurring and tragic pattern that plays out again and again throughout Scripture. Staggering miracle. God intervenes powerfully, invisibly on Israel's behalf before they cross the Red Sea. After they crossed the Red Sea celebration, Israel responded with songs, dancing, and praise of God. 3, new problem arises, a fresh difficulty or discomfort enters the picture. 4, immediate forgetfulness. Israel forgot. God's power returns to fear and complain. Why did they forget so quickly? In fact, they said, yet only a short time later, they were complaining in the wilderness. Did you bring us out here to die? He just got delivered. It wasn't 40 years later they complained. The moment they crossed the Red Sea, 40 days later, not too long later, they complained, did you bring us out here to die? Excuse me, you're the one who cried to come out of Egypt. So because circumstances, think of the Red Sea, God opened the waters and the Israelites walked through only dry ground. They watched Pharaoh's mighty army defeated before their very eyes. They sang the song of Moses with joy and triumphant. I told you Israel are the worst people God used. There's hope for us. If God can use the worst kind, then there's hope for us. So why? Because circumstances have a voice. The barrenness of the wilderness spoke louder than the miracle of the sea they just passed through. The physical sensation of hunger spoke louder than the memory of deliverance. The present crisis drowned out the past testimonies. If God, God was good. Amen. Don't pray. Don't read. Don't go to church. I'm telling you, it hits when they forget. And the Hebrew word for remember is zakah. To remember, far more than a mental recall. It's an active verb. Means when they recall something, they act. When God remembered something, He remembered the covenant, He remembered the promises. When you invoke His memory, He acts on your behalf. Amen. An active word meaning to think of, mention, and to act upon. Genesis 8:1. God remembered Noah and God made the wind. And the word wind is not natural wind. In the Hebrew, it means the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. When God remembered Noah, he was in the ark, he's waiting for the water to completely dry up. And the scripture says, God remembered Noah in the ark. If you read English, what's so big deal? God remembered, God forgot. 150 more days, or how long was that? How many days? 300 more days. Not 150 days. I think more than a year, he was in the ark. So God forgot, you know. God must be sleeping in heaven. Oh, I forgot Noah was in the ark. Hello, are you still there? You still alive? So he remembered. Then he made the wind. He made the Holy Spirit to pass over the earth. This wasn't a natural wind. The word wind is from the Hebrew word rao. It means spirit. It can be translated as wind, breath, or spirit. Genesis 9 verse 15. I will remember my covenant. The waters. After that, when he came out of the ark, he showed him the rainbow. He said, I will remember my covenant because of what I'm swearing now is the water will never destroy the earth. So the earth will never be destroyed from there on. So forget about all the wars. It will not completely destroy the earth. America will be destroyed. The world will move on. I'll remember my covenant. He swears. He said, the water shall no more become a flood. When he remembered, he acts. He kept his covenant. He acted that the water will not destroy the earth. The fire will destroy when? During the tribulation, not now. So in Exodus chapter 6, verse 5 to 6, I will remember my covenant. I'll bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. He acted. He brought them up. But of course, the Israelites were in bondage for 400 years. They cried out to God, like, you have to pray. God didn't say, I remember that I bring you out. No, then he should have brought them out earlier. No, they cry out to God. They cry out for deliverance. In other words, they pray. No one prays on earth. God can do nothing for mankind. John Wesley said that. So when you read these three scriptures, they're all over, 200 over scriptures in the Old Testament. When you read the word remember, it's the word zakah in Hebrew. So in a biblical context, zakah is not passive recollection. I remember. It is purposeful, life-changing engagement with the truth of what God has done. I remember what I did. I'll never destroy the earth again. When God remembered Noah, the water receded. When God remembered his covenant, he moved to deliver Israel from Egypt. When he remembers, he acts on your behalf. Amen. God remembered Abraham and saved Lot. Lot was not saved because of his own prayer or merit. He was saved because God actively remembered the covenant he made with, not even with Lot, with Abraham. Zakah set off a chain reaction of rescue and provision. You know why God answers our prayer? He remembers the covenant that Jesus established with us. Not because of your mighty prayer. We pray in the name of Jesus. He remembers as if he forgets. Invoke the covenant. He acts on our behalf. He answers our prayer. So in Genesis chapter 19, verse 29, says, God remembered Abraham and brought Lot out of the catastrophe. It wasn't Lot. Amen. It was a covenant that God made with Abraham. Don't want to remember the wrong things other people teach you and recollect them. Remember the covenant Jesus established with you. The God sent his son to establish his covenant with you. Why do you think he answered prayer? Because of the covenant that Jesus established with us with his blood. So the pattern across scripture is this. Every major turning point in Israel history, divine memory precedes divine action. They remembered the covenant. They remember what God did. Habakkuk said, I remember what you did. Your works, he remembers his works. God's remembering is never merely sentimental. It's always followed by action towards his people. Don't keep your testimony because others pray and God answers your prayer. You want to share. It's not for your benefit only. You understand? Amen. That's why I say I always got fresh testimony in this church. Can you imagine my testimony is when I went to Bible school 30 years, 40 years ago? The Spirit of God is moving in this church. That's why we have fresh testimonies. Amen. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. But of course, we also invoke past testimonies. This morning, I just did 2003. The shower light came down on me. And I prayed for somebody. That time, we have Wednesday night service. That person told me, the shower light came down on me. All his symptoms, all gone. But because, you know, at that time, he still knew this kind of teaching. Then 2 days later, all the symptoms came back. And I just didn't pray for the person anymore. But, you know, as time goes by, he just left. David, the man who used memory or testimony as a weapon. When David stood before Goliath, everyone else saw an impossible situation. Goliath, how to fight him? Nobody wants to fight him. Nobody dares to fight him. Impossible situation and certain defeat. Sure cannot be defeated by Goliath. But David saw something different because he remembered. What do you remember? All his problems, all his sickness and disease, all his defeat? Why are you recalling all the nonsense? You know, What do you remember? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine. Before he went down to fight Goliath, he risked declaring it. Because why? He remembered the past victory. He knew that God would do it again. He declared before he went down to fight Goliath. That's how you confront your problems in life. Amen. Don't be emotionally led. When you're emotionally led, you ignore knowledge. You will not be led by the Holy Spirit. You check your emotions, put it aside. How you check emotions? Check on what you say. So before David faced the giant that everyone could see, he had already faced battles that no one saw. What was the battle? He fought the lion or the bears on the mountain, or as a teenager, or a bunch of army saw him. Nobody saw him. He was up on the mountain. Anybody sees us in this small church? No, nobody sees us. What happens? The realm of the spirit, many a time we testify to it, what God did, and some people don't remember. They're very fast. They walk away from it, just like the Israelite did. A moment, cross the Red Sea, they complain, you brought us here to die? Then after that, he don't see Moses for 40 days, they build a golden calf. I mean, they are the worst kind. So before David faced, he faced battles that nobody saw on the hill, on the mountain, when he was shepherding the sheep. He fought the lions and the bear. Who saw? Nobody saw. Those private battles, unseen, unwitnessed, unrecorded by anyone but God, became the very sound of his public courage. He remembered, became his courage. Don't be emotionally led. It will cost you, and it will cost you. So David's approach before Goliath reveals something about what he remembered. Notice what he did and what he didn't do. He did not deny the problem. David did not pretend Goliath was small. He acknowledged the reality of the giant standing before him. And faith is not the absence of honest assessment. Right now, that's why we say, go and see the doctor. Don't deny your problem. You have a physical problem. But at the same time, when the doctor's report comes, remember what God has done. Pastor, I don't have a testimony. Can you remember what's in the Bible? Pastor, I don't know what's in the Bible. You're a man or woman, got no history, no personal history, nothing. You don't even read the history in the Bible, in the Old Testament. He placed the problem inside his testimony. He took everything Goliath represented and set it within the larger story of God's track record, his victory over the lion and the bear. He put Goliath into his testimonies. Remember Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, I think. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. That's the covenant and the word of our testimony. Hello. Amen. In the past, I just mentioned that. Remember, testify. God is getting it across. Getting it deeply to sink into your spirit. Amen. Testimony is not something about you boasting about yourself. It's boasting about God and his covenant. We overcome the devil. After you have victory, we are still to overcome it with the blood of the covenant, blood of the Lamb. That's the covenant. He remembered the covenant of Jesus had with us, and he acted on our behalf because of the covenant and because we remember the covenant and the word of our testimony, and we testify with our mouth. Hello. In the Pentecostal days, they always call people come out and give testimony. In the past, see, sometimes they're really wasting time. So that's why I don't call. So I testify on your behalf. Amen. Anyway, I enjoy telling your story. He drew courage from past victories. Goliath was big, but God who handled the lion and the bear was bigger. Yesterday's victory became today's courage. So the principle of spiritual bank account. Imagine your spiritual life as a bank account. Every interaction with God makes a deposit. God answers your prayer. God provides for you, gives you direction. God heals you, becomes a deposit in your spiritual bank account. So when a new crisis arises, you don't just look at the problem in front of you. You look at your bank account and begin to draw up, pull out all those testimonies in your bank account. You stand and declare God has been faithful before. You look at your spiritual bank account. He has been faithful before. He did it before. Do it again, because he has not changed. Amen. Every answered prayer, every response to a specific request is a deposit into that spiritual bank account. Every time he protected you, every moment of safety and recovering adds to the account. Recently, the fighter jet tire caught fire. He landed because of good judgment. Amen. Deliverance received. Every season brought through, the fire is recorded in heaven and in your spiritual bank account. So yesterday's victory becomes today's courage. This is the bedrock principle of remembering faith. We remember to renew our faith, to keep our faith strong. Remembering what? That's the Chinese culture, be gratitude. What somebody has helped you. You understand or not? Don't betray your friend who helped you. Don't negotiate your friend at the same time and behind it step him on the back. I just read in the book of Esther, they did that. So I said, oh, devil is the same in the Old Testament and today. So not denial of present, but deliberate anchoring in the proven. Praise God. Many people keep meticulous record of their finances, medical history, academic achievements, yet very often fail to keep a record of our spiritual victories. To combat spiritual forgetfulness, we must intentionally build faith memorials. Write it down. Keep a dedicated journal of prayer God has answered, including dates, circumstances, specific way. I mean, these are some of the examples how you record. Keep move. What is recorded is far harder to forget. Identify your lions and the bears when you face another struggle. Recognize that your past struggles were not accidents, they were training grounds. Name them, own them, and understand how they have prepared you for the current battle. It sure prepares you for the future. Unless you ran away from it and hide somewhere in a room and close up the curtain and be depressed in the room and still depressed after all these years and forget it. Then what else do you do? Speak the testimony. Share what God has done with others. The scripture, Romans 12, 11 says, they overcame him by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Spoken testimony reinforces memory, builds faith. Builds your faith, builds other people's faith, renews your faith, reminds you of God's faithfulness, reminds you of your faith because you believe and God answered your prayer and reminds you of the blood covenant he has for you. Amen. Then you don't slip into fear. Else you fear you don't have enough, you fear you don't have enough, you fear this, you fear that. You look in the natural, begin to calculate, my expenses are going to go up because I need a new car, I need a bigger house, you know, then. Joshua put stones to remember. What do these stones mean? The stones of remembrance. That's a biblical pattern. Genesis 28, Jacob set up a stone in Bethel where God appeared to him, calling it a pillar of remembrance. And when he had nothing. He was running away to Haran, running away from his elder brother. And God appeared before him. He put a stone there. Stone of remembrance. He remembers so that he acts. When he was rich, he came back. He put a stone there. He said, Lord, I'll tithe. He came back. He tithe. Joshua chapter 4, 12 stones were taken from the Jordan River after Moses died. God said, Joshua, hello, Moses is dead. Moses died. Now be courageous and be strong. Lead the bunch of Israelites across the River Jordan. And he led them across River Jordan. When he successfully crossed the River Jordan, he collected 12 stones of remembrance to remind the 12 tribes, don't forget what God did for you. As a memorial of God's faithfulness in crossing. You know, God knew, you know, God had Joshua did that. After that, they forgot. After Joshua died, they forgot. Joshua was still alive, they were fine, you know. Okay, Exodus chapter 12 first, before Joshua 4. Exodus chapter 12, Passover feast was instituted as an annual act of remembrance for all generations. After they crossed the Red Sea, they celebrated the Passover. They slaughtered the lamb, but they still forgot. Luke chapter 22, all this culminate to the Jesus instituted the communion. Do this in remembrance of me, the ultimate memorial. That's why we took Holy Communion. Holy Communion is not some ritual. No, we remember what he did on the cross for us. Amen. We remember what the blood is doing for us. You come to church, it's to remember and remind you of your authority that you need to use when the devil is working against. We remind you to pray and don't forget what God has done for you, how you have come this far. So throughout scripture, God instructed his people to create physical memorials, tangible, visible reminders of divine intervention so that future generations will ask, what do these stones mean? And God consistently invited his people to create physical anchors for spiritual truth. Your journal, your testimony, your conversation with a friend, tell your friend about what God did. Invite your friend, which you have benefited from this church. Amen. What are you doing? Because we want to increase in numbers. No. These are your modern day stones. Amen. Don't follow your wife or your husband to some churches that's not moving with God in times. Amen. There are churches in the U.S. that rejected the move of the grace. They are paying the price today, right now, 20 years later. Exactly 20 years, they are paying the price. And it's big time. My goodness, it's big. It's scary. So practical steps to start today. For example, memorial journal. Set aside 5 minutes each evening to write one thing God did, no matter how small. Over time, this become a powerful personal record of faithfulness. The testimony partner. Find one person with whom you regularly exchange testimony. That's where fellowship comes in. Mutual remembering, strengthen both individuals and hold each accountable for gratitude. That's why come to church, fellowshipping one another, important. Tell others what God has done. You know, small things, big things, little things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Adrian just told me, previous job, God prepared her for this job, the previous job. See, God prepared me for this job. What's she saying? She's remembering. She's telling me. And I'm telling you, her testimony is correct. But I told you what. God always prepare you. The struggles in the past, he prepare you for the future. Amen? Praise God. A physical anchor. Place a physical reminder, a verse or note, a symbol, somewhere visible in your home that points to a specific time God came through for you. I mean, this is some of the practical. You don't have to follow exactly. You find your own ways. I mean, every day you tell your wife stories about God has done for you. That's also a way of remembering, right? Correct? Don't just talk about all the nonsense things in the world. What your money can buy, what your carnal friend out there, how they spend their money, how they what? Huh? Then when you face with another Goliath, you got nothing to remember, you know, you struggle. If you constantly been remembering what God did for you, that's why I tell testimonies about when we get prayer answers, I don't hold back. I feel, you know, first it edifies me, right now it strengthens my faith. Secondly, my soul, I'm satisfied, I'm happy to tell testimonies. Correct now. Thirdly, for your benefit lah. So I don't care whether you're happy or not happy. You tell me a testimony, I'll tell it. I don't hold back. Amen. Pastor, don't say. There's something that's of course private, I don't touch. Else it's benefit others. I don't ask for your permission. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. So now you understand why I tell testimonies. What should you do? What should you reflect? Where has the presence grown too loud? What's happening in life that is so loud, you know? Louder than God's voice, God's testimony, God's word, your past testimony. What areas of your life have you allowed current circumstances to scream louder than God's past faithfulness? Identify one specific area where fear has drowned your drowned out testimony. What's your Red Sea moment? What's one specific time in history when God moving, maybe move on your behalf or move on your family's behalf? You can still invoke those. Move unmistakably on your behalf. What would it mean to truly remember, Zachariah? To actively remember and act upon it, that moment today. Sometimes how you act is just by speaking, just declaring it. It can be just in your bathtub, you just declare it. So what legacy are you leaving? How can you practically begin recording God's work so that the next generation in your family does not suffer from spiritual forgetfulness? Surely you will forget one when you bring your children out of this church or somewhere else when God has delivered them. You don't know the consequences. Some people forget. Some people just simply forget. So the next generation in your family does not suffer from spiritual forgetfulness. So what stone can you put in place now? The Israelites every Friday night, even Christians, pastors in Israel, the Friday night, they celebrate. I forgot, what's that meal at home? The Friday night is their family dinner. It's to remember what God did for them in the Old Testament. Amen. So the enemy's strategy, our countermeasure, he'll cause us forgetfulness, amplify the present crisis, isolate believers from community testimony you don't want to testify, and let fear replace your faith that you used in the past, what God has done for you. So what's your countermeasure against forgetfulness? Practice remembrance, Zakah, active remembrance. That means you remember not with your mind, you testify it. You tell it or you act upon it. How you counter amplify present crisis? Anchor in God's track record. Then when you, early on I said, when you praise Him, worship Him, God becomes bigger than your situation. Isolate believers from testimony. You share your testimonies with others. And you let past faithfulness fuel present courage so that you don't fear. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's how you counter. So the battle of memory is ultimately a battle over perspective. Because your present crisis looks so big, bigger than God. What is it that's bigger than God? Hello, always ask yourself, what's bigger than God? The enemy wants the present to be your entire reality. God wants the present to be held within the larger story of His unbroken faithfulness. Larger story? You don't have your own personal one? Go and read it in the Bible. It's all over in the Bible. Thank you, Jesus. So, be this discipline to remember. So let your past encounters with God become your bedrock of present faith. Amen. When fear speaks loudly, remind yourself of God's track record. When your current wilderness feels overwhelming, remember the seas He has already parted and He will do it again. Think of it, intentionally call to mind the specific moments of God's faithfulness in your past. Mention it. Speak it aloud to God in prayer, to others in testimony. Habakkuk said, I remember your works. Remember, we read Habakkuk. In prayer, speak it aloud to others in testimony, to yourself in the mirror. That means speak to yourself. And then act upon it. Let remembered faithfulness move you forward in obedience, courage, and hope. Amen. Praise God. And remember, God will do it again. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. You give praise. So we overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb. That's the blood covenant. He remembers because of the covenant. He remembered Abraham's covenant He made with Abraham, His saved Lord. He remembered, amen, the covenant He made with Noah. He will not destroy this earth until Jesus comes again. There won't be a nuclear war to destroy the whole earth. He will not allow this earth to be destroyed again. It wasn't God who destroyed the earth during Noah's time. It was the devil. And God had to allow it. Then after they say, it never happened again. So is it now less wicked than those days? The devil is the same.